You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff editor at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's show, I'm going to preview the Pacers game today against the Milwaukee Bucks. If you listen to this podcast on a Friday, obviously it is tonight at 8 p.m. Indiana travels to Milwaukee to take on Giannis Antetokounmpo, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, and the whole Milwaukee gang who barely escaped with a win in Charlotte in their first game of the season. Then I'm going to talk about Sabonis and Turner some more. If you listen to this podcast this week, it's been kind of a theme. Talked about it on Wednesday, Thursday, I think even Monday's podcast. But I think those two players are the most important players to watch this season for the Indiana Pacers. After the first game, I'm encouraged by both of them and both showing signs of improving in different aspects of their game. So I'm going to talk about them, what it means for the future, all Sabonis Turner segment. I think you guys will like it because I personally love talking about them. But first, let's hear from our first sponsor of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and that is MyBookie. MyBookie is your one-stop shop for betting. You know, I'm 21 now. I've been 21 for 5 months going on now, and I love to bet. I love to, whether it's the lines or it's betting over unders, I particularly like future odds, you know, betting on who's going to win the MVP or who's going to win this division or that division. And I like doing it in NBA and in the NFL and baseball and the playoffs. I like getting into it because it's kind of fun, especially because you can get good odds on baseball teams this time of year. Especially when they go down like 3-1, because the easiest thing to do with a baseball team is come back from 3-1 and play. I feel like it happens all the time in baseball. Not 3-0, it's only the Red Sox, but 3-1 or 2-1, you get good odds on the team winning the World Series and whatever. So it's that kind of time of year. It's October. You can bet on basically anything. You can bet on football, which is every week now, which is always good to fun to bet on because there's always lines and teases and parlays you can do. There's basketball, obviously. You can bet on any NBA game any night. You can do future stuff, MVPs, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously there's baseball, which you can bet on the World Series and each game to game. And if you do that, you should do that through MyBookie. If you go to MyBookie and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, locked on, at MyBookie, they will match you $1 for every dollar you deposit up to $1,000 if you're a first-time user. That is $1 for every dollar you put in. So that means if you put in $1,000, they put in $1,000. That's a great deal. Doubles your money immediately, and it gives you more opportunity to bet more to win more. That's mybookie.ag, and that is the promo code LOCKEDON. Welcome back into the Locked On Pacers podcast. The Pacers take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight in what should be the battle of the division. This game has implications that could have ramifications past just this game. I imagine, at least in my preseason predictions, I had the Pacers and Bucks as the 4-5 team in the East. I have them both winning between 48 and 50 games. So this game could be critical to a tiebreaker, to who gets to 50 wins, and obviously whoever wins the division. I think these are the two best teams in the Central Division, obviously. I think Cleveland fell off when they lost LeBron. Detroit's still kind of a step behind, and Chicago stinks. This game is the first test for the Pacers. It's the first kind of opportunity this season for them to really show that they improve. They're a better bench. They're a better team. You know, they shellacked the Memphis Grizzlies, but I think that was kind of expected, and at least they put up what you expect. They really played the game like they would any other game last season, I felt like. Like any game last season, the Pacers played a bad team. They ended up winning between 20 and 30 points. Exactly what happened. They played a bad team, and they beat them, and they took advantage of matchups at times like that, and it was kind of a full team beat. It wasn't just like one player. You know, their games against last year, I mean, the Pacers played the Knicks a couple times when they beat them, and it was just like you would see this distribution of guys, you know, six or seven guys, double figures, and everybody kind of doing their part in helping win, and that's what it felt like in the first game. Now, the Bucks are a totally different animal. They're a much better team. Now, I know they only won by 1 point against the Hornets. Now, I don't know what that says about the Hornets or says about the Bucks. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think the Hornets are a little better than they were last season. I think they might be the eighth team in the Eastern Conference if I had to kind of pick one right now. It's them or Detroit, obviously, at the eighth seed. And the Bucks are still this not super deep team. So they played really seven guys. They went nine in terms of guys that played double-digit minutes. But in terms of guys that played over 20 minutes, it was only seven. Kind of compared to the Pacers, and they had nine guys almost, or not nine guys, sorry. The Pacers had, nine guys play over 20 minutes in their game. They obviously had more guys play because of the garbage time. But It's just interesting. The Bucks really played seven guys off their bench. They went to Ilyasova and then DiVincenzo, the rookie. Then John Henson was there, but he really didn't play a ton. I know that might have to do with Dellavedova being hurt. Thon Maker was a healthy scratch, which is sort of an odd thing to me. I know he had been hurt earlier in the preseason, but they said he was healthy for the first game, yet didn't play. That was interesting. I don't know if he's going to play in the Pacers game. But nonetheless, the Bucks just really aren't that deep. They just aren't a deep team, and they're really heavy on the top, where they have a very solid, I would say, top four of Brogdon, Bledsoe, Milton, and Antetokounmpo. They are four really good players, four players who could probably start on a lot of other NBA teams. I think Milton and Antetokounmpo would be Giannis would be the best player on almost any team. Milton would be a second-best player on a lot of good teams, even in the league right now. I mean, he is a really solid player. Giannis almost had a triple-double in that first game, 18 rebounds, 25 points. I mean, that's ridiculous, with 8 assists. He also had 8 turnovers, which has sort of been his kind of kryptonite, is he's not the greatest decision-maker with the ball in his hands all the time. That's why they went away from Giannis being the point guard, like they were 2 years ago, where they just thought he was going to be kind of this point forward, kind of like Ben Simmons. Instead, he's kind of more settled into the power forward, small forwards, but who has the ball sometimes, but isn't always the primary ball handler. But Giannis is going to be the person to deal with, handful for any Pacer. I think Thad's going to guard him. That's how it was last season. We'll see how that goes. Now, we'll see if the Pacers make the switch to Sabonis early on and whether he guards Giannis. They're probably going to put Vic on Middleton, if I had to guess. Maybe they'll bring in Joseph earlier and have him guard Middleton. But if I had to guess, this is the perfect kind of game where you would definitely see Collison, especially the way he struggled getting pulled early for Joseph or Tyreke Evans, and they kind of run that kind of lineup. I guess they'll probably play Bojan on Milton to start, but I could see some Vic playing some of him just because he's a better defender than Bojan is, and Milton thrives in the ability to beat you off the dribble and to kind of fake you out for dribble is probably the better way to say it, because he's such a long arms, he can kind of like pull you forward, cross you back, and then drain a deep three, and I'm not sure Bojan is suited to guard him as well as Vic might be in that kind of situation. But as I was saying with Collison, he struggled really badly in that first game. You know, I would say maybe his worst game as a Pacer, in this iteration of the Pacer. Obviously, you go back to when he was here the first time. I don't know. I can't speak to that enough. I don't have all the stats from all the games the first time he was here. But this is probably his worst game in the 80s or the 70s he played with the Pacers over the last season and this season. And if that continues, Pacers have enough point guards, he's going to get pulled. I mean, Collison is going to get benched if he continues to play bad for probably Corey Joseph to start and then maybe Tyreke Evans eventually. I think they still want Evans off the bench because he was so well with the bench. You know, he can kind of carry it. But he's going to get benched. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But now, it's one game, so, you know, Tony did overreactions last night, so I shouldn't overreact too much. But this is the kind of game where Collison ends up not finishing the game because it's a tight game, it's close, and they need the defense over the offensive impact of Collison. I think ultimately this is going to be the first game where we see Vic really kind of show out. I know that first game he was okay, 6 of 11, 3 of 6 from 3. I mean, he wasn't bad. He started off a little slow, had a couple turnovers here and there, didn't look completely, you know, looked a little, I would say, nervous or jittery. But the game he had against Memphis, the first game, was a common Vic game when they blow teams out. Vic ended up being kind of this high-scoring guy in kind of games where it was close, or, you know, he was the kind of guy who carried them at nights where the rest of the guys played bad. And that's what a best player kind of does, where when the whole team was playing well, Vic just let the other guys kind of roll. Like, it's happened a lot, where Bogdanović played really well on Wednesday night, and Vic said, you know what, Bogdanović, you're doing great. We're going to keep feeding you, let you do it. And that's kind of the player Vic is. Even with Sabonis, he let him do that. But it's going to be the kind of game where I think Vic is going to be the dominant player. I mean, Vic is going to have to be, you know, he's going to have to be the guy. I think he has to score 30 points to win the game. I definitely guess I could see Evans ending instead of Joseph, but something like those two guys ending the game just because that's what's going to work. But the way Pacers are going to actually win this game is basically by holding it even with the starters and then killing their bench. I mean, I don't see anybody on the Bucks bench. They're probably going to play They'll probably stagger Brogdon and Bledsoe enough. Brogdon played 38 minutes in that first game. So Brogdon will be kind of he's the better defender of the two. He'll probably be the one to guard Oladipo to start, if I had to guess. And then he'll probably end up guarding Evans. So it's going to be a long night for Brogdon. He's a pretty decent defender, but it's a tough task to have to guard those two guys. You know, that's what makes Pacers lethal, is that they have, you know, Vic, who top 20 player, and then Evans, who is can be as dynamic as Vic can at times if he's can remain healthy for a full year, and that's yet to be seen, but he's as dynamic as Vic at times, and that will just be a handful for Brogdon, guarding him. DiVincenzo will probably be forced onto him at times. You know, what I could see is the Pacers exploiting matchups, and that's kind of what they did in the first game, where they really exploited the Chandler Parsons matchup. And for me, the matchup to kind of exploit is really Vic on Brogdon, Vic, or switching Vic on anybody, Except for Giannis should kind of be an advantage. Even Middleton, I think Vic can kind of cook. But the real matchup I see as an advantage to really exploit is Miles Turner on with Brook Lopez. Lopez is a decent defending center. I don't want to knock him as like a terrible defender. Obviously, he's up there in age. But if you pull Lopez off the perimeter and kind of make him guard Turner at the top of the court, that could be kind of a field day for Turner to post him up high or to get the ball and kind of use his dribbles to make moves and fake him out. Because Turner has shown an improved handle to me. I'll talk about that a little bit when I talk about Turner and Sabonis after, you know, I get to the next segment. But if I had to guess right now, I would say that's that matchup they exploit the most. The defensive matchup to watch really is Young on Antetokounmpo. I know the difference in the four games last year, so the Pacers beat the Bucks 3 out of 4 times. Vic didn't play the first one. That's the one they lost. But in the 3 times they won, Giannis struggled. Giannis, which is, I mean, I don't know if he struggled because he was being guarded by Young or because he just, you know, had a bad night, but he struggled. And Giannis was 0 for 3 from 3 in the first game, has yet to show an ability to drain the 3-point shot consistently, which means that Young will play off him, you know, to force him to just take threes, which he might miss, or Giannis will start, you know, give Giannis some space and let Giannis kind of dribble into him, and that's what Thad thrives. Thad is good at giving guys space and taking the contact. He's such a big guy. He's still kind of got it, I think, where he can take the contact of Giannis, you know, coming full head of steam down, you know, take the forearm to the chest and stand tall and still play tough defense. So that's what I'm watching for in that. If I had a prediction right now, the Pacers win. I think the Bucks are just not there yet. I think Giannis is going to be awesome. I just don't think as a team the Bucks are there yet. You know, the Hornets game, where they barely won. Side note, the Hornets court is awesome looking. I was watching the last play of the game again just to see how they almost lost to Kemba Walker, and that court is awesome looking. But I don't think the Bucks are there yet. The Bucks aren't. I'm just worried they're gonna be like last season. You know, I think they're still they need to improve that bench, which they're slowly doing. You know, they brought in Ilyasova. I don't know what's going on with Thonmaker, like I said, but DiVincenzo is a real piece. That helps. You got Henson, you got Dellavedova. I mean, you have a decent bench, but I don't know. There's just something with the Bucks where I don't always trust Bledsoe at times. I don't know how good Lopez is. I'm not sure what their best five lineup is, and I don't know if it involves Thonmaker or it involves Dellavedova or it involves maybe DiVincenzo, you know, and they play Brogdon at the small forward spot or something like that. Something doesn't really feel right with this team in terms of just I don't like their starting five as much as I like the Pacers starting five, and the bench, the bench is just not that good. And that's going to be a problem for the Bucks if they, especially when the regular season, when you want to win 50, 55 games, your bench has to be deep to carry you on nights when your starters don't bring it. And, you know, Giannis is going to bring it probably 75 nights a year, but the 7 nights he doesn't, they're probably going to lose because they don't have anybody else to kind of carry them. It'd be Middleton, and that's it. That's kind of how I look at this team. Prediction right now, Pacers win this game probably by 5 points. I think it's close to the last 2 minutes. Pacers maybe get a 3-point lead, get fouled, you know, get the garbage time free throws to kind of go up by 5. But I think it's 3 to 5.1 for the Pacers. If I had to guess, it's going to be scored in the low 100s, like 105-100 or 107-102, that kind of score. I don't see it being below that. But, of course, Pacers played a bunch of games with the Bucks last year, and well, at least one game in the low 90s, so or the high 80s. Yeah, high 80s, low 90s, like 92, 89, I think was one of the games. So it's a possibility for all we know. Let's take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about Turner and Sabonis. Welcome back into Locked On Pacers podcast. I was super impressed with Turner's defense in that first game. I think, you know, with Turner, there's been all this talk that he needs to improve his offense, needs to become a better shooter, needs to post guys up more, needs to take more threes, take less, you know, long twos, which Granny took a long two twice, I think, in the game, and that's ridiculous. He's got to make that a three-point shot. He's got to stop taking those 20-foot twos when he takes a foot back, and it's worth more, and it's such an inefficient shot. But defensively, I think Turner made a stride athletically in terms of balance, in terms of strength. He just looked like he could, like he took it to Marcus Gasol. I mean, Marcus Gasol tried to post him up. Turner had the foul trouble still, and that's still an issue. But when Gasol tried to post Turner up, Turner could take the contact and could still be there. A couple times they were trying to isolate him on the perimeter, and he was holding his own. He probably isn't quick on the first step still, but he can hold his own out there, and he can recover really well because of his long arms and big body. He can come back and swat shots from behind. I am impressed with what I saw in the first game. I'd be interested to see how he does against the Bucks if he has to play, if he gets switched on to Giannis or Middleton or something like that. I'm interested to see how that works, but I think Turner looks better defensively, and honestly, Turner could put up the 14-7 stat line he had last year. I know the first game he had 8-8. But if his defense, if he can guard perimeter guys, I mean, if he's defensive player of the year candidate, then it's all good. I mean, you don't need the points then. And then let Sabonis be the scoring center, because that's what Sabonis can do. Or let them play together and let Sabonis, you know, get more of the shots. What Turner has the ability to, because of his threat to make the three-point shot, is stretch the floor. He's got to take a three or two. He didn't take any threes in the first game. And that's, at some point, if he doesn't take any threes for the first 20 games, he's going to notice, and that's going to ruin his ability to stretch the floor. But he's got to take threes, a couple threes a game, just to show that he can do it and stretch the floor enough. But I was super impressed with what I saw him turn in the first game. And Sabonis in the same hand. I mean, 14 and 15 for Sabonis. He was killing the offensive glass. 6 offensive rebounds. Turner shot 3. She mentioned that as well. They were just, you know, they had 9 of the 13 offensive rebounds, and they were just, I think they were just destroying Madison on the glass. It could be Memphis. I mean, that's all this could be. But I was impressed with Sabonis in the terms that he fit with Tyreke Evans the way he fit with Vic, which is super impressive. I mean, he had a couple plays where he would get it, basically drive it into the lane, and he looked like he was going to turn over the ball or get stopped, and he just made a perfect pass to Sabonis. You know, he just, they looked in sync, and I think some of that is Sabonis. Sabonis just fits well with any player that can play with the pick and roll very well, and Evan's good at that. And I think part of it, I talked about it last time with Tony, but it's the Lance-itis. I mean, you know, if you from afar, you know, just squint and watch it in really grainy, last year's tape or this year's tape, you would say, well, Evans is like Lance, right? It's the same height, roughly, same kind of dribble the ball methodically, same position essentially with the team. Yet Evans, when he's out there, is just worlds better. He's a more efficient scorer. He doesn't take dumb shots. He's willing to give up the ball when he knows he doesn't have a good shot. I mean, he put up a stat line of 14-6-4 on 6 of 12. I mean, if he didn't shoot any threes, he would have been probably been 6 of 9 or 6 of 8, because he shot 6 of 7 inside the from two and only won 5 from 3. So I mean, I just can't believe Pacers got Evans. Honestly, where I am right now, I just can't believe they actually got him for the 1 year deal, no risk deal. But he's just worlds better than Lance. I think that's going to be kind of a theme all year, is just watching him. You know, Pacers fans, we fell in love with Lance. Lance was the man. He was the guy who, we hated him because he left, but then he came back and he had all this swagger and he was Indiana and this is where he wanted to be. And he finally came back home and he was playing better than he played before, and he got the fans pumped up and he had all the antics and he had the guitar moving and the hops and the whatever. And he was a great fans player. But when you watched him play basketball on the tape, but it took out all the BS, he wasn't that great. Evan, on the other hand, is more quiet, more kind of like, he's a more reserved basketball player and lets his playing show for itself. And he's a much better player. I mean, he's just a much better player than Lance. And that's what it's going to be in the difference with this team. That's going to be kind of what maybe pushes this team to that next level, is the ability of Evans to elevate the bench unit, to, you know, to help them run away with games against the Grizzlies, help the starters only play. You know, Vic played 26 minutes. I know there's a complaint that Vic starters were in with 5 minutes left, up 20, but Vic only played 26 minutes. I mean, that's really low. Collison played 21, Young played 28, Sabonis played 29. I mean, Joseph played 20. I mean, the starters didn't play very many minutes overall. And so I think that's where I'm excited about Evans. I mean, I think Evans and Sabonis together are going to be just a dynamic duo off the bench. They might be the two best bench guys together all year. That could easily be what happens, is they become kind of like interchangeable six-man to the Pacers, and each one could have a six-man chance. I just think Sabonis is going to have more stats because he has the rebounds. I don't think Evans is ever going to have like a double-double like Sabonis might have every single night. So that's something to look forward to. Joseph still looks good. Mr. Consistent. I mean, I guess him and Thad Young, Mr. Consistent. But I'm just impressed with the way Sabonis and Evans play. And then Sabonis obviously can play with the starters at any moment. You know, he can fill in for Turner and fit in perfectly. Sabonis can take a three either, which I would love to see if he's developed a better three-point shot. I'm skeptical that he actually has, but I'd love to see if he did. And then playing together, you know, they played about 4 or 5 minutes together, Turner's bonus, and they got in foul trouble, Turner did. But I thought the idea of bringing Sabonis at the 4 or 5 minute mark and letting Thad play with the starters is a smart idea. I like Sabonis, you know, getting time with both units and seeing how that kind of works. And I think there's a good chance that Turner's bonus times could work together, and for if they end up playing, let's say, 8 minutes a game, they could work. And it lasts Sabonis, who I think is the third best pacer, fourth best pacer, I would say Vic, Thad, or 1-2, and then you're looking at Turner, Evans, and Sabonis as kind of the next guys, and it allows Sabonis to play more minutes, and it gets him up to 30 minutes a game, hopefully, which is kind of where he wasn't. I think he was more like 25 last year, so that's important. It's going to be good for this team, and I'm excited after the first game. Obviously, you know, you can slow the brakes down. It's just the Grizzlies. We'll say they're against the Bucks, but they have a real chance that they beat the Bucks tonight of going 3-0 into the weekend, and that would be awesome. For us, always on Locked On Pacers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. I love the comments. Keep sending them. Send questions. Send questions, please. I have a mailbag kind of thing I do for my weekly post, anycorners.com. Respond to that. It's a Google little link. You can respond on any of the posts that I post on anycorners.com. You can fill out the Google link and ask any Pacer-related question. I'd love to answer them, anything. Anything you ask, I'll probably answer at some point. I might answer it every week, but whatever, I'll answer. You put a question there, it will be answered at some point by me during the season. But I love questions from you guys and thoughts and kind of things like that. It helps kind of drive the show and content attempts. It helps us get better content for you guys. You can follow me on Twitter at FreedomAdam5. You can follow my co-host, Tony East, at TEastMBA. As always, leave us 5-star reviews on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get this podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. It helps. We read those sometimes. That's all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again on Monday.